the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tricepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tricepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's Friday, and that can mean only one thing, casual Friday, and I'm in the studio with the lovely, intelligent, and talented Elisa Profumo. How are you doing, Elisa?
Hey, Carl. How are you?
Very good. Very good. And we've got a great show planned for you today, but before we start that, I have to make a confession. I am a dumbass.
Really?
Yes. Well, you've known that all along, right? In fact, that's why you like me.
Who said I like you?
Oh, okay. Valentine's Day weekend, I stayed at a friend's house. I was not familiar with the floor plan. And the end of the night, I decided to walk through a pitch black kitchen, which has the hallway that leads to the staircase up and an open door, which leads to the staircase down the basement, pretty much side by side. And, I thought I was making a left into the hallway, and I was actually making a left into the stairwell.
Into the basement.
And I you know, just like you would normally do at a normal pace, I threw my left leg to the, you know, my left leg out and made a turn into the staircase. I mean, into the staircase, thinking it was the hall. And when I realized that there was no floor beneath my foot as my left foot came down, I began to topple over.
Did you like do cartwheels?
Yes.
Or?
I went head over heels.
It's not really funny. I'm sorry. I'm laughing.
No. It was funny after it happened because I even laughed about it. But I went with the full velocity of a 225-pound body, unrestrained, down the stairs, tumbling head over heels. My left leg went beneath the railing and ripped it right off the wall as I spun out of control. And I came to a stop at the bottom of the landing, which was the basement floor.
And then what?
I sprung to my feet, literally. I was like, actually, when I felt my back hit the stairs after the first flip, I realized, it dawned on me, I was like, oh my God, I'm falling down the basement stairs. It was like happening in slow motion in my mind. Uh-huh. And then when I came to a stop at the bottom of the stairs, I literally sprung to my feet. I thought, oh, I hope I haven't broken something. I sprung up to my feet. And then I sprinted back up the stairs. Now, you happen to have been in the house. What did it sound like inside the house? Did you hear anything?
I did. I thought that something was like falling apart in the house. I didn't know what was happening.
It sounded like a big, like a thunderous noise?
Yes.
I came away without a bruise, never mind no broken bones.
And the banister was ripped from the wall.
So the staircase lost in this case.
That's true.
But anyway, and you know, the reason I'm even telling this story is because it was complete stupidity on me to think that I could walk through an unfamiliar setting in the dark like that.
Did you have your contacts in?
No, I did not have my contacts in. But that's still no excuse because my vision is blurry, but I'm not blind without contacts. Mm-hmm. And this had a lot to do with just, you know, positioning. I should have known I needed to go a little further before making a left, and I didn't. But what this is a testament to is I've been preaching, you know, live stronger, live longer on this show for 6 years now. And a lot of people think I mean, you know, deadlift a lot of weight and then you can be strong and that'll help. No, part of being living stronger and living longer is you build a robust body that's able to take a beating. I think the average 52, almost 53-year-old man who would have fallen down those stairs would have at least come away completely bruised up and feeling terrible and at least a broken bone. I mean, I hit my hip.
That was a full case of stairs.
Yes, yes. It's like, what, 14 or 16 steps or something like that?
I think it's like 16.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, so that, if that isn't a testament to making sure you have enough muscle on your body, and more importantly, the effects of bone mineral uptake that occur from heavy resistance training. I mean, I don't have a bruise. I'm actually going to go train legs today. This just happened on the 14th, and today is only the 8th. So 4 days ago, this happened, and I didn't miss any work, and I didn't really miss a beat. I mean, I definitely had some aches in my lower left glute, which apparently hit the corner of a staircase the hardest. But there you go. Train hard, live long. There you go.
Done. I agree.
In my case, exercise is idiot-proofing me.
I don't know about that, but...
Oh, okay. Anyway, there's been some questions about heart disease on the boards, and we're going to do a show on heart disease and the markers for heart disease, but this raised the question about cholesterol, and you immediately ran and got your most recent cholesterol readings from your doctor.
I did.
And first, I want you to... Before you read what your cholesterol is, which really is amazing. I mean, you're genetically a freak when it comes to cholesterol. But tell the story about how you, when you got your cholesterol reading done, you got a call from the nurse at the doctor's office, right?
Right.
And how did that go? How did that go?
Oh, it was actually a male nurse, and he called and told me that they got my results back, and that I had really high cholesterol, and that I really needed to do something about it. And I said, so what do I need to do? And he said, well, you need to eat more fiber and you need to eat lots of oats in the morning.
Right.
And so I said, well, what was my cholesterol? And so he gave me the total number. And I said, well, what's the breakdown of the LDL and the HDL? And he said, I don't know that. And I said, well, shouldn't you be able to give me that information? So basically he didn't know the information. I asked to get a copy of my blood test. And I went by the office and picked it up. And then I spoke to the doctor because I was a little upset about the nurse calling me. And
because you saw your blood work. And the reason I just need to say this to the audience. The reason you said you wanted to see what the fractions were is because you had seen your blood work all along. You've been very diligent about watching your cholesterol. So you kind of knew what was going on already, right?
Well, I knew that I didn't have high cholesterol.
Yeah, quote unquote high cholesterol, right?
Right. I knew that. There's no way.
Right.
There's just no way. So I showed the doctor the result, and my HDL was 103.
Right.
And the doctor looked at the HDL reading, and he said to me, I have never seen anyone with an HDL that high before.
And you've always had HDL in the 100s or close to the 100s.
Close to the 100s.
Right, right. So the reality is your total cholesterol was what?
213.
Which means that your LDL was like in the 90s.
It was 91.
Right. Now, if you were the average human being, keeping the LDL where it is, and if you had average HDL of 30 to 40 something, even then your cholesterol would have been well within what the current guidelines for cholesterol are. You would have been absolutely under 170, probably in the 130 to 140 range. So what did the doctor say when he saw the HDL? Did he say you have to do anything?
No. He said, well, my nurse was mistaken. Sorry. Yeah. And, you know, he was apologetic as well. He should have been. But I was frightened because – and then actually even on the lab report, it says high next to that number.
Right, right. So the reality is that you have model cholesterol levels. You have ultra-high HDL and very, very low LDL.
Right.
So there you go. So it's not always about the cholesterol, is it? It's really about the breakdown.
It's about the ratio.
Now, what do you attribute your wonderful HDL levels to?
Lifestyle, I would say.
Do you think any of it is genetic?
I'm sure some of it has to be.
Yeah.
Your liver
works a certain. Yeah. I think that the landscape of your liver is such that you have a very, very low number of HDL receptors and a very high number of LDL receptors. However, with that being said, you could have influenced that landscape by your lifestyle. Now, you are a big proponent of having a glass of wine with dinner and have done that for many years, right?
Off and on. Not every day. No.
Okay. Well, right now you're not because you're training for a competition, hopefully, in the near future.
Right.
But overall, you're a big proponent of the benefits of wine in that area.
Right, yes.
And we'll probably cover that whole subject at a later show. We're working on that now. Okay. Somebody else asked us to do that once before.
But I do want to point out that my father did have high cholesterol.
Huh.
So, genetics, maybe? You know?
But do we know what his LDL-HDL ratios were?
No, I just remember he was on high cholesterol medication before he passed away.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's a big mistake. But then again, he didn't live the lifestyle. You know, I'm a Johnny-come-lately to physical culture and nutrition compared to you because you've actually lived it as a lifestyle for as long as you can remember. And really,
well, with the exception of when I was in school, you know, you know, partying. And
with the exception of any time that there are cheese crackers close by.
No, those are not part of my diet any longer.
Okay. So there you go. So it's not always about cholesterol levels. It's about the fractions. And more importantly, anytime your doctor tells you that you have high cholesterol, you got to ask the right questions. We have to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up. We've got some great subjects for you today. And at the end of the show, we have listener call-ins, and we're going to be answering listener questions. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines 3 of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these 3 agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get 2 of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit rlssupplements.com today. One testosterone was the king of muscle and strength building agents. Now there's One Andro RX. One Andro RX is pharmaceutical grade 1-androsterone. It converts to 1 testosterone in the body. The results are 7 times more anabolic than testosterone and can't convert to estrogen or DHT, so you never have to worry about bloating or water retention. One Andro RX will build lean muscle while helping you shed body fat. You can get One Andro RX by visiting ironmaglabs.com. The winter is upon us. Make this season count by adding some new muscle with One Andro RX.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
How y'all feel out there?
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My favorite day in the studio for so many reasons. Number one, I have my beautiful and talented co-host, Elisa Profumo, in the studio. Plus, it's Friday. I don't have to do any work tomorrow. Well, that's not true. I have to do some work, just not radio-related work.
Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah, I feel good about that. Anyway, okay, so where do we go from here? We have to go to a post from one of our listeners, Tyler Hess.
Yeah, you're right. We really do have the most talented, educated, and smart listeners.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really great study, and this study really speaks to the mantra of this radio show over and over again, especially not only as it relates to us as humans, but also the animals that end up becoming food sometimes. You know, I've been saying that cows that eat a natural diet are healthier for us.
Right.
And Tyler put up a study from Case Western, correct?
He did.
And what was the study about?
It was a study about apes, evidently gorillas. Heart disease is the number one killer of male Western lowland gorillas. That's the only species of gorillas in the North American Zoo.
Really?
Yes.
And so we have a situation where they kind of emulate humans, or we emulate them, because heart disease is a big problem for us as well.
Right.
And so what did the study look at?
Well, it looked at their diet, obviously.
And what were they eating originally?
Well, they were eating buckets of vitamin-rich, high-sugar, and high-starch foods.
Right.
For decades.
Right.
And that was because they were trying to make sure that the gorillas were getting enough nutrients in their diet.
Right. So once again, we usurp nature, and we decide that food that we create for the animals is better than what they usually eat when they're in the wild.
Right.
So what did they do to help these gorillas?
Well, notice they were eating a bucket full, but then they switched them to wheelbarrows full. Okay, so think about that.
They're doubling the
volume of their foods.
Right.
To wheelbarrows of romaine lettuce, dandelion greens, endive, alfalfa hay, succulent branches from trees where they were taking the succulent bark off the branches.
Right, right.
And leaves, green beans, a handful of flax seeds, and actually some bananas where they put some multivitamins inside the bananas.
Oh, good. So they were still getting additional vitamin-enriched food, but this sounds like the type of food that a gorilla would forage for on their own.
Right, exactly. And that's what they were trying to emulate was the wild diet.
And so what happened to these gorillas?
They lost 65 pounds.
Right. Go ahead. And what else happened to them? Why is it not a mystery? Go ahead. What else happened?
Well, basically, I mean, they were eating about a quarter of what they were. I mean, they're eating 50 to 60 times more than what they were eating.
Right.
And they lost 65 pounds.
Right. And on top of that, didn't the risk factors for heart disease also start to disappear?
Right. And another interesting thing that I read in this article that Tyler sent us was that they had this nasty habit of when they were getting the diet created by man, they would spit it up and then eat the spit.
Right. So vomit and then re-eat the vomit.
Right. But they stopped doing that when they went back to their wild diet.
And this particular psychosis, animals in captivity have a habit of developing psychosis. This particular psychosis has never been seen in wild gorillas, right?
Correct.
So this is something that was exclusive to these gorillas that were in captivity eating this artificial diet. And once they switched them to a more natural diet, like nature intended them to eat, they got leaner. Their markers for heart disease went away, and they stopped this psychotic episode of vomiting up their food and re-eating it.
Yes, they did.
So what is the takeaway from all of this? That natural diets really do make a difference to animals?
Yes.
Now, if we could just get the beef producers and the pork producers and the poultry producers to understand this, they'd find out that the reasons that people keep saying animal protein is no good for you will go away. Because clearly, a sick animal is not a good host to become food. So,
right. Yeah. And they said, in this article, they said the next step is going to be exercising the gorillas.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about just giving them lots of trees and letting them be gorillas? What
exactly.
About that one? You know, that's hard, I guess. Gorillas in captivity probably don't have they probably are the animals that like to roam. And how can they roam if they're caged?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of sad.
That is sad.
How do you feel about zoos. Do you think that it's important for people to be able to go to a zoo and see an animal?
Well, I have mixed emotions because I don't like the way they're caged up. However, if they were born in captivity, you don't want to release them into the wild because they probably couldn't survive in the wild.
Right.
So there's mixed emotions on both sides of that.
Right. So let's address just the first emotion, the first side of it. Should we be taking animals out of the wild and captivating them so that humans can stare at them? Basically, that's what it's for, right? So we can look at them and go, wow, that's what an ocelot looks like.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that's a fair thing for us to do?
I don't really think so, but...
Yeah, I don't.
There might be some scientific purpose to it that we don't know about.
Well, I think it's selfish. I think, you know, what other species captures another species and then takes it away from its natural habitat so that it can look at it? Other than humans. I mean, I'm just.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah. But anyway, okay. All right. So there you go. So Case Western figured it out for us. We wouldn't have known this had they not done it. Feed an animal a natural diet and it stays healthy. Go figure. Which takes us to human diets. This was a question that was posed. Who posed the question? Was it Barry Short about drinking soda all the time?
Yes. Barry Short says that he eats a clean diet, but he drinks diet soda. He didn't specifically say how much he drinks, but he does drink quite a bit of diet soda.
Okay, so first thing I got to say, Barry, is you can no longer say you eat a clean diet if you're drinking diet soda. I'm sorry to say this, but you're not eating a clean diet. Clean does not mean that you're just staying away from fried foods. Clean means you're not taking in or purposefully taking in things that are known to be poisons, which are chemicals. But let's address this in a more logical fashion. What are the benefits of what are the supposed benefits of drinking a diet soda, Elisa?
Well, you're replacing it with just say Coke. If you're drinking a regular Coke, you're going to replace all that sugar. So that sugar's been known to cause dental caries, obesity. So you're basically going to replace all that sugar with the artificial sweetener.
Right. Okay. So now let's talk about the intrinsic and extrinsic value of sugar. The intrinsic value of sugar is that it has calories, and these calories either have to be used up as energy or they will be stored as fat, correct?
Correct.
Okay. The extrinsic value of sugar is the reason it's stored as fat is that it stimulates a spike in what?
Insulin.
Right. Okay. So let's look at artificial sweeteners just for a second in and of themselves.
Okay.
There are a number of studies that show, dating back to 2008, done on saccharin and then moving forward through other artificial sweeteners, that artificial sweeteners do, in fact, cause an insulin spike.
Okay.
So now, if you are drinking a diet soda along with food, you are going to increase the fat storage of that meal just by drinking the diet soda because you're still spiking insulin. Now, you may not have the caloric load of the sugar.
Right.
But the caloric load of the other food is going to be treated the same way as if you had just drank a soda with sugar because it's going to have a higher degree of storage because of the insulin spike. This was just recently proven through a study that looked at what's known as glucose excursion when ingesting both carbonated water or diet soda in the presence of a meal, and insulin increased when using diet soda as opposed to carbonated water in the presence of a meal. So artificial sweeteners, and this is the conclusion of that, so artificial sweeteners synergize with glucose to enhance GLP-1 release in humans. And clearly what we don't want to do is we don't want to stimulate insulin. That's the reason we drink artificial sweeteners, because we don't want to stimulate insulin and store fat. So from the intrinsic value of it, it's a loser. But more importantly, what information was just released yesterday about the coloring that they put in soda?
Oh, they have a that the actual brown coloring does cause cancer.
It does cause
cancer. It does cause cancer.
And we call that caramel coloring, so that people think of caramel, which is something sweet and tasty and brown and sugary.
But it's not really caramel,
right?
Okay, because it's made by reacting reacting corn sugar with ammonia and sulfites under high pressure and a high temperature.
Right.
And those reactions produce two chemicals that I can't really pronounce. So we'll just call them MEI1 and MEI4.
Right. So MEI1 and MEI4. Do we want MEI1 and MEI4 in our body, Elisa? Is it a good thing for us? Does it help us?
No.
That's why not?
That's what's caused cancer in lab mice and rats.
Okay. So it causes cancer. So it's a carcinogen we've determined, right?
Yes, we have.
And isn't there right now an organization that is calling for the removal of quote-unquote caramel coloring, or at least renaming it, removing the name caramel from it?
And they're also trying to put a warning label on the Cokes.
Or any drink that
any
has
drink
caramel.
That has the caramel coloring, right. It's the Center for Science in the Public Interest, CSPI. It's a Washington-based group.
Okay. So here you have diet sodas.
They petitioned the FDA, by the way.
Right, which the FDA doesn't care. And didn't some genius say that if you look at the research, don't worry about it. When you do the math, you'd have to drink 1,000 diet sodas in order to have the results that were found in the lab mice or rats. Didn't some genius say that?
Yes, he did.
Do you happen to have this genius's name? Because I'd love to give him an award. While you're looking for that.
No, I've got it right here. He's a biochemist from Vanderbilt University. He said, basically, my advice would be just to relax. I did some simple math. If you look at the study in terms of what the mice got, in terms of causing any effect, a human being would have to drink more than 1,000 sodas a day.
Okay, 1,000 sodas a day. Okay, but now you did some other research on the microgram content of the amount of this MDS1 and MDS4 or whatever, MEF1 or MEF4, that is actually present in sodas. And I believe you said it's about 130 micrograms, correct?
I did, yes.
Okay, and the center, and was it the Center for Disease Control or the organization that's raising this issue said that as little as 30 micrograms...
16 micrograms per day.
16
that
micrograms per
California
day.
California regulators.
Now, California is the toughest on this stuff. So as little as 16, because California is the ones that made McDonald's put that warning on their French fries, that
right.
when you fry French fries, that carcinogen is released.
Right.
So as little as 16 micrograms a day, they consider noteworthy and to be a concern.
Correct.
So who do we, but now let's apply superhuman radio logic. This is what I like to call superhuman radio logic. How much arsenic is safe?
And by the way, it says in this article that an average American drinks 14 ounces of soda a day.
Okay. So now let's apply superhuman radio logic.
Okay, sorry.
There's probably a threshold of arsenic that you could tolerate every single day without dying. And let's say for the sake of conversation that threshold is 30 micrograms of arsenic a day. It won't kill you.
Right.
So would you drink a drink that had under 30 grams micrograms of arsenic a day?
No.
Why? It's safe.
In whose terms is it safe?
Exactly. The guy from Vanderbilt University needs to be hit on the head with a cymbal so it makes that clong noise because no amount of chemicals is healthy. Period. End of story. And you know what? I suggest he go move next to a factory where toxic gases are released every single night and have someone at the factory say, yeah, but we're releasing so little it's not harmful to you and your family. And I say he plant his family there and live there for the rest of his life.
Okay, well, then what about the Mayo Clinic? There was a nutritionist from the Mayo Clinic.
Yes.
That had been posed a question. The question was, I drink diet soda every day. Could this be harmful?
Right. And we have to give her name first because I always love to give people credit where credit is due. And I also like to give people credit when they are dingbats and they deserve. Her name was Catherine Zaratsky, and she is a registered dietitian. Okay. So she said what, Elisa?
She said that drinking a reasonable amount of diet soda a day, such as a can or two, isn't likely to hurt you. The artificial sweeteners and other chemicals currently used in diet sodas are safe for most people, and there's no credible evidence that these ingredients can cause cancer.
Okay. So number one, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Let's say she wrote this article before they discovered caramel coloring. So what she's saying is, look, a little chemical is okay. It's not going to hurt you. Once again, This is nutritional idiocy at its best. We were not designed to eat chemicals. Let's just go back to the Case Western study. Look what those poor animals happened to them when they were eating this artificial diet.
Right.
So let's add chemicals to their diet. Let's go ahead and put solvents and colors and additives and all this other crap in their diet. Do you think that's going to – it's safe? No.
Oh, well, according to Catherine, it is.
Yeah, and I say to Catherine, I think that she should go and drink food, eat food and drink drinks made of nothing but chemicals. God bless her. I think she should do that. Her and she and the guy from Vanderbilt should get together and buy that house next to the plant where they're letting toxic gases released every night, but in safe levels. In safe levels. That's what I say to Catherine. So there you go. I wish I had a bell. I go clang, two dingbat nutritional idiocy awards issued on today's show. Okay?
Okay.
All right. We do have to take a quick commercial break because that's how we pay the bills here. And as I always tell you, if you love the show, always patronize the sponsors. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. It's Casual Friday. We've got more great stuff for you. So stay tuned. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's getting hot in the studio. You think it's because I'm getting so angry at the nutritional idiocy?
Could be. Maybe you should just take your shirt off.
Uh-uh. You know what? I did that. I had Brooks Kubik in the studio for a show. And I told him, Brooks, I said, I'm burning up. I had a sweatshirt on. And this studio does get hot because of all the padding for noise
sound
reduction.
Uh-huh.
So, and I took my shirt off while we were doing the interview, and I thought, I hope he doesn't think like I'm flirting with him or something.
Well, on the next interview, he didn't come in. He did it. He did.
Yeah, that's right. He did. He wanted it. He says, "It okay if I do it over the phone?" I said,
yeah.
"Sure." Maybe Brooks thought I was hitting on him. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
Better be careful about that.
Anyway, you were kind of angry during the break just now because we were talking about diet soda, and you kind of went off on a tangent about energy drinks.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about energy drinks and how bad they are for children. I read some stuff in an article the other day about how an 18-year-old high school senior drank two energy drinks, and he was hospitalized for 5 days. He had seizures. He had seizures and was hospitalized.
For 5 days. You know, so energy drinks are a big, big industry now. I mean, they're expected to reach $9 billion during 2011 in sales.
Really?
Yeah. And didn't you say that the majority of that is all from kids, that money?
Uh-huh.
Like 25 and younger.
Right, exactly. It's the staple of is among college students and club kids age
right.
25 and younger.
Right, right. But there's a lot of young kids that drink energy drinks as well.
Right. As a parent, I wouldn't let a child drink an energy drink. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, our industry has been using energy amplifiers for a decade now for pre-workout purposes. And some of that has bled over to people using them recreational purposes as well.
Right. Well, you know, they're classified as dietary supplements, and they're not regulated by the FDA. These energy drinks are not.
Okay. Why? Do you think that they should be?
Well, I think so.
Well, when you say regulated by the FDA, I mean, first of all, the FDA, I don't want anything regulated by the FDA, but what is it that you're looking to have the avoidance of these energy drinks occur?
Well, they have so much caffeine in them.
Right.
So it seems like they regulate caffeine in sodas, the FDA does.
Do they really? I didn't know that. So they say they put the upper limits on how much caffeine can be in a soda.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
okay. Actually, the article I'm looking at right here says that the FDA places limits on the caffeine that soda makers can put in their soda.
So there you go. I never realized that. But yet, because it's considered a dietary supplement, you can have many, many more energy milligrams of caffeine in an energy drink than you can in a soda.
Right. And some people might be confused because it also says that the energy drinks are different from sports drinks and that their sports drinks are designed to replace electrolytes and nutrients.
Right.
And the energy drinks, the parents might be confusing the energy drinks with
sports drink.
Uh-huh.
You know, the real problem with energy drinks is really in young children, correct?
Yes.
I mean, that really is it.
That is the problem.
And I'll tell you where the real problem comes from. The real problem comes from, again, because of the pharmaceutical agenda, you have so many kids on anxiolytics and antidepressants and ADHD drugs that
yes.
when you add caffeine into the picture, you can actually have, psychotic episodes. You have these kids hallucinating or being overstimulated. So that really becomes the issue. And then when you add into that some of the more advanced ingredients in energy drinks today, like guarana, which is obviously a stimulant, but also things like quercetin. Quercetin actually acts as a block to block the liver from getting caffeine out of your system.
Oh, really?
They add quercetin to caffeinated drinks so that you have the caffeine buzz longer. And so when you add quercetin into this equation, you amplify the effects of caffeine for a longer period of time. And if it has a drug interaction with one of these young kids, it really can be a bad event.
And also think about all the caffeine. If you're a young child and you're not able to sleep, then you're not going to be able to focus and you're going to be tired. And just the
hormonal issues.
Just the fact of not sleeping as a child.
Right.
That's going to cause a lot of issues.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. So maybe we need to rethink the energy drink and exposing children to them. And parents out there should never let their kids drink an energy drink at all. That's harmful.
Right. Well, you know, they need to look at the labels of what's in that before
right.
they allow them to drink it.
You know, energy drinks kind of falls into our culture, and our culture has been accused of being made up of people who are self-centered. Have you ever been told that you were self-centered by anyone you know?
Yes, I have.
Friends?
Have you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been called, actually been called a zealot by people who used to be family members of mine but are no longer because of the divorce process. But yes, I've been called a zealot, I've been called self-centered, and I've been called narcissistic, and I hardly think I'm any of those things. But with that being said, are we really self-centered?
Well, let me ask you, let's qualify. Why are you why was she calling you a zealot? Why have you been called a zealot?
Well, because I always carried water with me everywhere I went, because I stuck to a very, very rigid food plan of eating, you know, very high protein, bland chicken and beef, and I stayed away from the traditional foods that the rest of the family was eating, so I was not participating. I would sit and eat dinner, but I would have my food and they would have theirs. And I had hoped that they would catch on to me, but they wanted me to go back to them.
Basically, you were living a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, and so I was called a zealot.
And what about time being spent in the gym? And
well, it didn't take away from my time in life, but because I used to go right to the gym after dropping the kids off from school. But yeah, I went to the gym 6 and 7 days a week and spent at least an hour to an hour and a half training, yes.
Well, I too have been called self-centered because I pay attention to my appearance, because I like to exercise and eat healthy, and yes, so
right.
That's
okay. And I would imagine that many of our audience members have probably been accused of being self-centered at least by a family member or a friend or even an ex-lover who dropped out of the picture because they didn't get with the program.
Right.
So are we really being self-centered, or are we really being self-caring? And are those people just are they just agitated and afraid of what we are becoming as we change, and they're not going with us?
Right. I think that's really the case.
So we probably could be. So let's look at some of the habits that we lead in our lives, and let's vote right now. Those of you can vote in your head, or you can go to Facebook and post some comments if you want to. So going to the gym 5 or 6 days a week and spending an hour at the gym, do you think that is self-centered or self-caring?
No, I think it's self-caring. And case in point, you falling down the steps on Valentine's Day and you didn't break a bone. I mean, come on. If you didn't have all that muscle on your body.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't bruise.
I know.
I didn't bruise. That's the really funny thing. Okay, there you go. Self-caring. How about going out to dinner either at a friend's home or to a restaurant? And being very specific with the waiter with what you want.
Oh, I know this one really well because that's me.
Right?
You know, sometimes I feel, do you remember that scene in When Harry Met Sally?
Yes.
And she's like, I want the dressing on the side and yeah. Oh, you know.
Very specific.
Very specific.
Right.
That's totally me.
Right.
And sometimes I feel bad because I feel like I'm putting the waiter or waitress through, you know, hell because I'm, have such a specific order, but you have to do that to eat healthy if you're going to eat out.
That's right. But when Harry Met Sally did it, it was quirky and cute.
Right.
But now when you do it, you're being difficult.
Am I?
No, I'm saying this is what people will think to themselves, right? They're not thinking, oh, isn't she quirky and cute? They're thinking, oh my God, she's being, and you know why? The end result is what challenges people. People don't want to be reminded that they eat like, you know, poop. And so by you doing that at the table with them, they're going, oh great, now when I order my ribs and my, you know, my sweet tea and bread, you know, I'm gonna look like a fat slob now.
Well, or I've been out with friends and they'll say, oh well, our order is easy compared to hers.
Yeah. And that, you know what, and that's a testament to the Western diet. Our order is easier compared to hers. Just give us all the bad stuff and the poison that you already have on the menu, because we just want to eat that. We're mindless. We just eat whatever you put in the trough. Okay, how about, have you ever gone to a friend's house and either A, called ahead and said, what are we eating, because I only eat specific foods, or B, brought food with you?
Oh, I always do. Actually, my mother used to always say, oh, don't worry about Elisa. She brings her own food with her.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you're on a specific diet, either they know that and they have it prepared for you, or you just bring your own food. You have to.
Okay. So Are we being self-centered by doing that, or are we self-caring, you think?
No, I think it's just self-caring.
Okay, let's before we go on to the, go ahead, you were going to say something.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Before we go on to one of the next topics, maybe what we need to do is qualify what actually would be self-centered. If the end result is to improve the quality of your life, to improve your health.
Right.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And doesn't damage anyone else's life in the process.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say that that's just self-caring?
I would.
Okay. If the end result was not necessarily to be beneficial at all, other than to feed your ego or, in your mind, elevate your status in the eyes of peers, and also may or may not insult or hurt other people, wouldn't you say that that is self-centered?
Right. Do you have a specific
example
of that? Yes.
Oh, I mean, okay, a self-centered person may make people wait for them while they get ready time and time again. They're late to functions.
Oh, yes.
They don't really care about you. It's all about them. Mm-hmm. And the end result isn't making them healthier. It's not making them stronger. It's not improving the quality of their lives while they detract from the quality of yours.
Uh-huh.
So they are actually kind of like, I think cigarette smoking is self-centered, okay?
I do too, okay? Because of secondhand smoke.
There you go. And plus, you know that it's killing you and killing the people around you, but you refuse to quit anyway.
Right.
There you go, okay? So, now that we've qualified that, what other items are on the list that you think people have been called self-centered for?
Well, let's talk about massage therapy.
Okay.
Okay, so I was actually going to get a massage one day.
Right.
And I was on the phone with one of my friends.
Right.
And she said, what's going on? What are you up to today? And I said, I'm actually on my way to get a massage. And she said, oh, must be nice.
Right. Like as though, you're somehow, it's frivolous and, you're wasting time and, you know, you're not busy like me.
Must be nice. I'm sore from working out for 2 freaking hours every day. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
Actually, when I went to get the massage, I was so sore, and the massage therapist, I think he must have been like, he was really digging in deep, but I mean, you need that if you're going to work out.
Because
hard.
Did you feel better afterwards?
Oh, a ton better.
Now,
yes.
Now, did you going for the massage in any way, shape, or form take away, distract, deter, or damage anyone else's life?
No.
Okay.
No.
Did it improve your life?
Yes, it made me feel better.
So, self-caring or self-centered?
That's self-caring.
Okay. So, when people get upset because you're caring about yourself, once again, it's because you're challenging their belief system because they don't care about themselves.
Well, and let's just talk about a little bit about what massage therapy does for someone.
Okay.
I mean, if you work out the way that most of us do, the way you and I do, it's improves your circulation. It's rejuvenating. It eases sore muscles.
Relaxing.
It relaxes you. It kind of makes you just go get into a trance, and you can even meditate for that hour that you're in there.
And most importantly, it moves lymph fluid around.
Uh-huh.
Lymphatic fluid becomes static like a puddle. Do you want your lymphatic fluid to resemble a stream that is always moving and fresh, or do you want it to resemble a puddle that's stagnant and attracting mosquito larvae? You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
It moves the lymph fluid around, which is really, really critical.
And if more people were aware of what massage therapy really is about, then maybe they wouldn't think that you're being self-centered if
right.
you're doing that.
Right. And once again, I can't help but think that the medical orthodoxy has a hand in this, because had massage therapy been something that your doctor prescribed and your insurance company paid for, then you would have said, I'm going to get a massage, and it would have been treated as the same way as, oh, I'm going to the dentist.
Right.
Oh, well, that's something you need to do because it's healthy for you and you have to do it. Oh, okay. So what's another item that you think people would be considered being self-centered for as opposed to self-caring?
Well, let's just talk about sleep. If you're training hard, you need your sleep for many reasons. And, you know, for me, 8 hours of sleep is something that I need when I'm working out really hard.
Kevin Johnson just wrote on Facebook, I consider myself self-centered because if I don't worry about myself and my health, no one else will. He crystallized it. That's what I was trying to say.
That's great.
That's what I was trying to say. This is so good. Okay.
So repeat that one more time.
Okay. So I consider – and this is Kevin Johnson on Facebook. I consider myself self-centered. He's proud of being self-centered, in other words. Because if I don't worry about myself and my health, no one else will.
That's great.
If I follow, he just reposted something. If I follow what everybody else does, I'll have to lower my standards and my health to that of everyone else. Who's on the road to disease and who is on a road to disease and quick death? And this is from a guy who was ill for most of his life, learned about nutrition, cured himself. You would think that people would be following him.
Right, and be happy for him.
Right, right. Okay, so I'm sorry. You were saying about sleep. This is one that I got hell for when I started getting on my road to health.
Uh-huh.
I used to go to sleep at 9 o'clock every night, come hell or high water. I don't care what was going on in my life. I would go to sleep. My family hated this. They hated it. They did things to disrupt my sleep to the point where I had to start wearing earplugs and those eye covers. And my kids used to joke and say,
sorry, it's not funny, but just picturing that in my mind.
Well, and my kids would say, oh, Dad is in his apartment because I put the earplugs and my eye covers on. And this drove my ex-spouse crazy. She would come into the bedroom and turn the lights on and leave them on purposefully just to disrupt my sleep because she felt that I was being a narcissist because I understood the value of sleep. Now, keep in mind that I got up every morning at 5 a.m. and drove the kids to school. So right. My goal was to get to sleep at a reasonable time where I could get 8 hours sleep.
Right.
So she felt I was being selfish by protecting my sleep.
Well, the important thing here is that we all need sleep.
Right.
The 8 hours of sleep.
Right, right. And sleep can actually improve disease, restore health, and improve quality of life, and reverse disease. Or if you don't get enough sleep, it can cause disease. This mm-hmm. is an easy no-brainer. Is this self-centered or self-caring?
No, it's very self-caring.
Yeah. So to those people out there who would disrupt your sleep because they feel that you're self-centered, lock the door, kick them out. There you go. That's the answer. All right. What's another one that we could consider self-centered or self-caring?
Well, this one is a little controversial, I think, the fact that we need sunshine. We were talking about melatonin to help you sleep, obviously.
Right.
But you were telling me about how when you go out into the sun, actually the melatonin is
right.
stopped being produced.
Right. We as a species, the way we're designed is we have periods of what are known as non-motor and motor periods. And a motor period is when we're supposed to be up and around, you know, being chased by dinosaurs, foraging for food, just like the apes and so on and so forth. The thing that distinguishes the motor period and non-motor period are hormonal milieus. So at night, at dusk, when the sun starts to go down, the body responds to the changing light frequencies
mm-hmm.
by producing melatonin to get us ready for sleep. Melatonin, once we are asleep, creates the cascade of nighttime hormones. When the sun comes up, even with your eyes closed, assuming we were sleeping on the ground or a well-lit cave, as that sunlight reaches our retinas, even through the eyelids, it stimulates the production of retinal GABA. And GABA goes to the brain and says, the sun is coming up. Switch off the nighttime hormones, switch on the daytime hormones, which DHEA, epinephrine, norepinephrine, and the adrenal hormones kick in for the motor period. So sun is critical to our existence. It is part of the it is sunlight is the first domino in circadian rhythm. We don't have a circadian rhythm without sun. When they lock people in dark rooms with no clock for weeks and at a time, they lose their circadian rhythm. They sleep when they should be up. They're up when they should sleep. So sunlight synchronizes circadian rhythm. It's
okay.
critical.
Okay.
So there you go.
And the vitamin D that you get.
Vitamin D production in the skin, which, you know, I have a theory on that, but.
Well, you were going to talk about sunblock. You wanted to say something.
The rate of cancer has gone up in this country. Skin cancer is on the rise while sunblock is on the rise. You take Africans who live in the hottest equatorial areas of the world and live in direct sunlight, they have no cancer. Now, some people would say, well, they've developed a high level of melanocytes in their skin. But I would say to you that vitamin D is chemoprotective. And when you rub sunblock on, you actually eliminate vitamin D production and you still let small amounts of the damaging sunlight in, which leads to a net difference in the chemoprotective value of vitamin D, and you develop skin cancer. Otherwise, how could the sales of sunblock be going through the roof and the rate of skin cancer be going through the roof? sun hasn't changed in a billion years. Mm-hmm. So it has to be the way we're handling the sun that's changed. But that's my opinion, and I'm not intelligent, so don't take that to heart.
You're not?
No, I'm not. I'm just a radio guy. That's all right, so there you go. So do you think that spending a half hour to an hour periodically in the sun, whether it's gardening or worshiping the sun, do you think that is self-caring or is it self-centeredness?
Caring.
Yeah.
Caring.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Nick Guggs posted on Facebook, maybe the other people are jealous because we are, quote-unquote, self-sufficient.
Well, that's an interesting thought.
You know, or self-saving. You know, yeah. We are saving ourselves. Anyway, do we have anything else on the list?
Epsom salt baths. And you know, you can think about that two different ways because you have the whole magnesium thing, which we can talk about in a minute. But just the actual getting in the tub and relaxing and, you know, shutting yourself off, closing the door and taking time for yourself in the tub. You can light candles, kind of, you know, make
aromatherapy.
Aromatherapy, exactly. I mean, that's another thing that just, for me, it's really, and then you add the Epsom salts and all of the benefits that you get from that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that that's self-caring, not self-centered. But interestingly enough, while you were saying that, I think there's a gender difference at that point. I think a guy who lights candles and sits in an aromatherapy bath may be looked at by other people in his peer circle as like being a metrosexual and being self-centered, where if a woman does that, it's expected for a woman to take care of herself in that fashion, and she's self-caring.
Right.
So I think there might be a gender bias in some of these things when applied to the men and women. There may be difference in the rules.
Well, that's true.
But I would say that bathing in a bath that is made up of Epsom salt or other components that are designed to restore health to the body is a good thing. And that's self-caring.
I think so too. And, you know, for me, the way I've been working out, taking an Epsom salt bath about three times a week, basically.
Right. Makes a big difference to you,
right? It makes a huge difference.
What about drinking red wine? You think that's self-caring or
self-indulgent?
Self-indulgent.
But that's another controversial thing. You know, is it good for you? Is it bad for you? I happen to love red wine. I haven't had as much lately as I would like, but you know, I guess that's a matter of opinion.
The problem with red wine is that there is there's lots of conflicting research out there. But then again, if you use superhuman radio logic and you look back, I mean, I have a grandfather who drank red wine every single day of his life and lived to 98 years old.
I had a grandfather who made wine. He drank it. He lived to be 93.
There you go.
And I also read in a study that the alcohol can boost your HDL levels.
Is it the grape?
I'm sorry. Right, the red wine. So right. It's the polyphenols that you get from the red wine and the skins of the red wine.
And those polyphenols have also been shown to increase insulin sensitivity, which maybe that combats the potential insulin resistance of the low levels of alcohol in wine, which is another thing. It's very, 12% by volume on average is very low levels of alcohol in wine compared to traditional cocktails and drinks. So that makes a big difference as well.
Uh-huh.
How about in states where marijuana is legal? You think that's is self-centered, self-indulgent, reckless behavior? I think it's self-caring. There's a lot of evidence that cannabinoids and THC are actually chemoprotective. I had a scientist on the show 2 years ago that showed that THC can actually reduce the occurrence of brain tumors.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And we did that whole show, you know, when weed is good for you. So do you think that if someone lives in a state where they can get a medical marijuana card and occasionally imbibe in weed instead of alcohol, and it has some medicinal benefits, there is evidence of that. It lowers intraocular pressure for people who have glaucoma. Do you think that's reckless, self-indulgent, self-centered behavior, or do think that's self-caring?
I guess self-caring.
I think so, too. And that's a hard one to answer.
It is a hard one to answer.
Because it's a political lightning rod.
Well, not only that, but then, I know, like, from smoking, when people smoke tobacco, it harms their lungs. Does the marijuana harm the lungs?
I don't know. I have to believe that inhaling any smoke any smoke, I don't care where it comes from, clove, cigarettes, or whatever, I have to believe that inhaling smoke in the lungs is an unnatural thing. So I have to believe that to some degree, inhaling smoke is not healthy.
Okay.
So from that standpoint, it could be dangerous. But you don't smoke a pack of 20 joints a day like you do cigarettes.
That's true.
You smoke a couple hits. And nowadays, you know, they have these one hits. They have glass pipes. So you eliminate the paper burning. I mean, there is like...
You know a lot about it.
Well, I happen to have children who live in San Diego, which is the, you know, the marijuana, the legal marijuana capital of the world now.
Oh, okay.
But, and don't forget, they have pot brownies and marijuana butter, and they have marijuana in food products. So that totally sidesteps the whole inhalation issue completely.
Well, that's interesting.
So there we go again. So it's not necessarily being self-centered. And I think do we have any more to go on with this list? Or
Sex.
Well,
save
now,
the best
okay,
for
let's,
last.
Let's take a break and we'll discuss that one off the air. No, actually, sex is healing, obviously.
Uh-huh. Marvin sexual Gaye, healing.
Marvin Gaye sang about it, right?
Right.
Sexual healing. And sex really is healing. So I have to say that. So in other words, I guess the question is, how often are you having sex? Is it conflicting with work schedules? Is it causing you to not do the things that you need to do and getting in the way of life, or just having sex periodically when the time is available? I think that will determine whether or not it's self-centered, reckless behavior or self-caring. What do
right.
you think?
I think so, too.
But it's definitely self-caring if you're doing it with some...
And if you're not being reckless about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Reckless is a big word with sex because obviously there's transmittable diseases involved if you're just going out and having casual sex in this day and age.
Right. And then the last one is just laughing and enjoying life, you know, positive attitudes.
That's a hard one for people to get their head around, believe it or not. I believe that people would be happier if they thought other people around them wouldn't think that they were... when you're happy, it's almost like the rest of the world wants to poop on you.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think most of us would be happier. There's almost a badge of honor in struggling and suffrage.
Uh-huh. Misery loves company.
There you go. But I would think that finding time to laugh. I told you that in some of the toughest periods of my life, I used to take my laptop to bed and watch episodes of Family Guy right before going to sleep so that I would laugh a whole lot and then go to sleep. And I would wake up in the morning feeling great. So laughter before sleep is really good, too.
But you're not supposed to look at your computer before going to sleep.
Yeah, you're right, because it re-stimulates the eyes. You're right. And they get back into that whole shutting down melatonin thing.
Right.
Very, very good. Can't pull one by Elisa Profumo, that's for sure. And on that note, we have to take a quick commercial break. We're letting the show go long today so we can cover all the topics. So you tell me, are we being self-centered by making the show go longer, or are we being self-caring or caring about our audience? You can think about that one during the break. We'll be right back.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SH Radio. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you
you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's Casual Friday. Who said they like Casual Friday, Elisa?
Carl Moore, M-O-H-R.
Yeah, Carl Moore. Thank you for the props, Carl. And we like Casual Friday, too. I like Casual Friday because it gives me a chance to be a goofball. I really do.
You're
I'm not
always
kidding.
A goofball.
Oh, but see, everyone doesn't know that, Elisa, because when I'm on the air, I'm really professional. You're the only one that knows I'm a goofball.
Oh, okay. Actually, you're a knucklehead.
Yeah, that's what you call me, right? Knucklehead. Anyway, all right, so we've covered some different subjects. We're going to be answering some listener mail and listener questions, and we're going to be playing some listener call-ins. We've got some really great ones, and we have a really good lengthy one from Professor Dr. Andro, who has promised to be a guest on the show in the very, very near future. Okay, let's go to the Casual Friday link, first of all. There was a question that was posed by
Just get one out of the way. Gordon Woodward posted on my Facebook, because we were talking about BCAAs and how I said I'd lace my water with it and drink it while I'm working out. Right. It does taste really bad. And he asked me if what I used was flavored because it tastes so bad. And basically, I just add, like at Whole Foods, I buy true lemon or true lime. Or true orange. It's just a crystallized lemon.
Right.
With no additives, no sweeteners in it. And I just put that in my water to kind of take away the bad flavoring of the BCAAs.
And that works for you.
It does work for
you. And it doesn't add any calorie content. It's just purely flavor. And it's a natural flavor. It's just dehydrated,
lemon juice. Right. Exactly. Or lime juice. And they have orange juice. And it really helps.
Okay. All right, let's do this. We have a listener question from a contributor to the show. I'm calling him a contributor because we've mentioned his name so many times today. Tyler Hess. We ought to have him sit in on one of the shows and co-host it with us. But Tyler Hess asked me a question. He said, I'm training purely for strength gains and everything else for now is a distant second. Should I periodize my workouts? Are 5x5s optimal? Should I max out sometimes, always, or once every few workouts? You know, everything works for a while. And I think that you've probably heard me say that and heard other people say that on the show. I think that you absolutely should be staying with a 5x5 type scheme, using the kind of weight that you can just eke out 5 reps, 4 or 5 sets to start out with. And maybe as that starts to become less challenging, then you should start to move into using some other techniques. Like, coming in and just doing some really heavy singles, which is really great. Come in, if you're doing deadlifts, you load the bar with a weight that's maybe 90% of your max, and you do, maybe 20 singles or 10 singles or 5 singles in a specified period of time, so you create density. And what ends up happening is if you start out by doing
10 singles with a weight that's 90 to 95% of your one rep maximum. And you rest a minute in between. And then the next week you come back and you do that same workout, but now you rest 50 seconds in between. And you come back a week later and you do that same workout, but now you rest 40 seconds in between. You keep chipping away and increasing the density. Eventually you will come into the gym and do 10 straight reps with that weight, which means that your max weight has just gone up really fast. There is no single answer to building strength except avoid fatigue. That is the one tenet that I would tell you now. Avoid fatigue at all costs. Make your workouts short. Follow the approach that the Bulgarians did. The Bulgarians used to come into the gym, do one or two really brief warm-up sets, do their max lift, and walk out of the gym. They were in and out of the gym in 15 minutes, but they would do that, and they had the luxury to do this because this is all they did the whole day. They would do that 10 times in a day. And they got super strong. Why? They totally managed fatigue. They never pushed their body into the fatigue zone at all. When you don't push your body into the fatigue zone, several things happen. The peripheral nervous system adaptation occurs much faster, but more importantly, the central nervous system adaptation, which in simplest terms is your brain freaking out that you're going to crucify your body now, disappears, and your brain goes, oh, this is going to be easy. And all of those stress hormones don't kick into gear. And all the noise in your head, am I going to collapse? Am I going to blow a disc? Am I going to blow a shoulder? They're never even in the picture when you manage fatigue. So if you really, really want to build strength, the only thing that I can say that you must adhere to 100% of the time is manage fatigue. Treat it like work. If you were a construction worker and you had to move a 10 square yards of bricks 100 feet, you wouldn't try to pick the whole 10 square yards up in one time. You take them in small portions and you'd manage your time because you have 8 hours in the day to get it done. You would manage fatigue. You wouldn't want to blow all your energy in the first hour and you got 7 more hours to work. You're not going to be able to do it. So manage fatigue. That is the only thing that I would say if strength is exclusively your goal. Other than that, absolutely periodized training is a good way to do it. 5x5s have been proven time and time again. Maxing out maybe once or twice a month, depending on how your body works, is good. Get in touch with Wade Johnson. He's on Facebook. Search for Wade, WadeJohnson. Good friend of the show, Coach Wade Johnson. He has a routine that he calls the dynamic wave routine, where you keep altering your max and your minimum lifts up and down over the course of weeks to build strength. Try everything. Everything works for about 2 to 3 weeks at a time. Everything. And find what works best for your body. But the one key thing I would say is manage fatigue, and that will increase strength. If I'm wrong, if there's some strength guys out there and I've gotten it wrong, I put my foot in my mouth, you know, chime in and I'll pass your information on as well. Where do we go now?
Okay, you had a question from Nick Guggs on Facebook. Do you have that one?
He's saying, when testing APS Nutrition's creatine nitrate, did you notice any increased blood flow libido-wise? The reason I ask is really increased blood flow, like arginine, was supposed to then should also help people eat. Okay, a couple things. Yes, absolutely. When using creatine nitrate, I do notice, better erections, more full erections, okay? But it's not going to cure somebody who has true ED. If you have true ED, you can't get the erection in the first place. Anything that's going to increase nitric oxide synthase will allow you to increase the quality of your erection, but it's not going to cause you to get the erection in the first place. But yes, absolutely, I did notice that, and I really mean that. I have 6 caps of creatine nitrate in a plastic bag in my pocket that I am taking when we leave the studio because I'm going to go train legs. I get a great pump using that product. I still take creatine monohydrate, believe it or not, because I'm not convinced that the creatine nitrate really shuttles all the creatine into my muscles, but I definitely do know that the nitrates definitely increase my pump, and for that reason alone, I take them. So, yes, absolutely.
Do you want to play listener call-ins?
Yes, we have some really great call-ins. We're going to play quite a few call-ins here that we've gotten, and then in the last one, we're going to play one, which is the longest one, from Professor Dr. Andrew, who's promised to be on the show in the very, very near future. First, we'll play this one here, which was a great one. Scott on Facebook messaged me on Facebook and said that he was told by the health practitioners at work that his BMI is too high. Keep in mind that the guy is 7% body fat. They told him he had to lose weight. He's all muscle. They told him that they gave him a pamphlet and made suggestions on how to change his diet. They should have put him up in front of the people at work and said, look, we want everybody in work to look like Scott, you know, but instead they're telling Scott, your BMI is too high.
They told him he was too heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause his BMI is high, but they didn't take into account that the guy is 7% body fat. He's got to be ripped to shreds, 7% body fat. Okay. So here he called it. I asked him to call in and leave this and hold on a second. This is going to take me a second to do because I got to get some things queued up. I want to make sure I have the volume loud enough.
Hey, Carl, this is Scott. I just wanted to read the red meat and diet information that I got from a pamphlet at work for what we should be using for our health. Ready? Choose primarily a plant-based diet to reduce the risk for heart disease and colon cancer. Plant-based proteins are cholesterol-free, low in saturated fat, and high in fiber. Examples include tofu, legumes, soy, nuts, whole grains, and dishes made from these foods. If you choose to eat meat, fish and poultry are lower in saturated fat and healthier choices than red meat. People who choose primarily plant-based proteins live longer on average than those who eat red meat. Yeah. Silly. Thanks, Carl.
So how do they know people who choose plant-based diets live longer? What longitudinal study has been done that show that they live longer?
I haven't seen one.
I mean, that is a complete insult to intelligence right there. But more importantly, this aversion to red meat, you know, comes back to the Case Western study. Sure, if you're eating red meat from conventionally raised cows that are eating corn, grain, soy, and all that sort of stuff, absolutely it's going to make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're eating cows that
grass-fed,
hormone-free,
antibiotic-free.
Thank you. I mean, this is, but yeah, okay. Eat a plant-based diet, and you'll be healthier, and you'll live longer.
Right.
All right. This one here was from another listener of the show, Sherm Ham, and he called in. Wants us to do more lifestyle shows here. Come on, where's it going? Sorry about that.
Hi, Alisa. Hi, Carl. This is Professor.
Oh, no. How'd that happen? Stop. Okay, here we go. This one is from Sherm Ham. Yeah.
Hey, Carl. This is Sherm Ham. Huge fan of the show. I have been for the last 3 years. Really love the training and information on supplementation and nutrition. Really like the lifestyle pieces that you do occasionally from time to time when you had like Phil Colin from Def Leppard and Mike Miller. And I was just wondering if you were going to plan on doing more lifestyle pieces. And I think a great guy to get if you could get him would be like Bill Kazmaier. I think that would be a very interesting show. Anyway, love the show. Keep up the good work. And like I said, I'm a huge fan. Thanks. Bye.
I don't know that Bill Kazmaier would do my show. I would love to find out if he would. Bill Kazmaier is a former strength athlete, and he's the guy who does all he MCs all the Metrex strongman events and stuff.
Uh-huh.
He was a fantastic strength athlete back in the day, and I'd love to have him on. If anybody out there knows how to reach him, send me an email, and I'll get in touch with him. And I would like to do more lifestyle shows. I didn't know people liked them, to be honest with you. Those lifestyle shows I did, like Phil Collin and Mike Miller, it's because I had an interest in those guys myself. I never realized that the audience liked that sort of stuff. I was kind of being self-indulgent. Mike is a good friend. I love Mike. And I figured, you know, I never get to talk to Mike. Let me have him on the show and catch up with him.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I definitely will do more lifestyle shows. And if you want, you know, post your suggestions of people who have some either influence or involvement in physical culture or nutrition on my Facebook or Alisa Profumo. And I need more people to friend her, by the way, Alisa Profumo, because she gets things done. If you put something on my Facebook, I may not even see it for a few days. If you get it to her, she bugs me and says, hey, we have to do this. So,
I'm a pest.
Well, I wouldn't say you're a pest. You're just very thorough. I'm more like the haphazard professor. But anyway, if you know of somebody that you want me to have on the show and delve into their life, let me know, because I don't want to interview people that you find boring. I want to interview people that you are interested in. So do that for me. And we've been trying to have Mark Bell on the show. So anybody who knows how to reach him, let's do that. All right, here's another phone call. I think that this one was a joke, but I will answer it. Hold on a second.
Yeah, hey, Carl, this is a question for Casual Friday. You know, they cleaned up Vegas. They took all the Jaboni Mafia out of Vegas. When do you think they're going to do that to the IFBB? It's just a question, you know?
Okay. This guy was obviously trying to sound like a wise guy from my neighborhood, I'm assuming. First of all, I have to say that they have not cleaned the Mafia out of Las Vegas. For those people out there who aren't from the East Coast or Italian, Jabroni is something you call a guy who's a knucklehead. Like, you like to call me knucklehead. Well, the Italian version of a knucklehead would be Jabroni. You know, like, this guy's a goofball.
Uh-huh.
So this fella here, who did not leave a name, said that they've cleaned all the Jabroni Mafia out of Vegas. When are they going to do that at the IFBB, implying that the IFBB has mafia in it?
Does it?
I have no idea. I didn't know. I mean, the IFBB is very, very small potatoes compared to the kind of things that the mafia gets involved with.
That's true.
I mean, nowadays, the mafia is involved with the largest companies in the world. They've cleaned up quite a bit. And the street guys, the street thugs, are still doing the dirt that they did, but they're not the guys that are making all the money. So I disagree with you that the mafia is still alive and strong in Las Vegas. Number one, they are. And I really don't know that there is a mafia influence in the IFBB. I have heard that rumors to the fact that the IFBB is run like a mafia organization, but I have no way of knowing that. I mean, I'm not an IFBB person. I barely follow bodybuilding.
Okay.
So there you go. But I don't know if that was a goof question or not. I answer them. I said I would answer all questions, and I am. All right, this is a five-minute call from Professor Dr. Andro, who is going to be on the show very shortly. You'll get a glimpse of his voice here in a couple seconds. He is a very, very intelligent guy. If I ever want to take a vacation, I think I'd fly him in and have him host my show.
Do I get to co-host?
Yes, you'd get to. Wouldn't you want to go with me instead? Oh, my God. You want to be here with Professor Dr. Andro. Oh, man. You know what? I was just going to say, if I let him co-host my show, they may not want me to come back. All right, listen to this.
Hi, Aliso. Hi, Carl. This is Professor Dr. Andrew from Germany. I thought I would not call in, but rather send you an MP3 to play on the show, well, if you decide to. I just wanted to comment on some of the topics of the last week and one from the week before, when Stepan wrote something on Carl's Facebook. I think he was referring to the issue of carbohydrates being necessary not to fall victim to something people know as adrenal fatigue. And I think one of the listeners asked on Carl's Facebook whether he as well thinks that carbohydrates are in fact necessary, or whether a paleo diet would unnecessarily or ultimately lead to adrenal fatigue. And I posted an answer, but I thought it would be a good idea to clarify this, because I think paleo really is a great idea. The only problem about it is that people interpret it in the wrong way. They read, you should eat veggies and lean meats. And if you look at the calorie composition of veggies and lean meats, you will see that, in fact, many people who do not eat so much veggies end up having just a few veggie carbs and a lot of proteins. And this is what predispositions people to adrenal fatigue, because if you only consume protein, this might be a good idea in view of the fact that you might feed your muscles with amino acids, but in fact your muscles need fuel as well. And the fuel must come from gluconeogenesis from your liver. And this will happen only by releasing catabolic hormones such as cortisol. And this will work for a certain time period. But in fact, after a few weeks, you will notice that you get tired, that you get fatigued, and that in fact you exhibit all those typical symptoms of adrenal fatigue. And what people do not understand is that paleo, or the original idea behind paleo, was to eat just exactly as our ancestors did. So ask yourself, did our ancestors eat lean meats only? No, they probably didn't. Just a few hours ago, someone posted on Carl's Facebook again a very interesting piece on some apes who were changed to a more natural diet and eat about double amount of calories but still lose weight. I think it was Tyler who posted that link. And this is what you must think about as well when it comes to paleo dieting. Because if you were a hunter and gatherer, you would get a huge amount of calories from fats. And I think this is something people do not get out of their heads, that fats are bad for you. So they see, eat lean meats, so they eat chicken. If you eat chicken, and if you maybe even cut away the little fat there is on a chicken breast, then you do not consume enough energy. Your body will have to go to the energy-demanding process of gluconeogenesis to produce energy, and he will always run short, especially if you combine this with a training regimen like the one Rob Wolf always talks about. I think it's, what's it called? It's CrossFit, yeah. I'm not so familiar with CrossFit, but as far as I know, this is a metabolically very demanding training. And if you do not fuel your body appropriately, you will end up tired, fatigued, and see no results either in the gym or in terms of weight loss. And believe it or not, it won't help if you consume tons and tons of fish oil, because in effect you really need saturated fats as well. You need the cholesterol and all those bad things the government keeps telling you you must not consume anymore. They are essential for your endocrine system and essential for energy production as well. So in the end, the basic message is you need to consume a healthy diet, and a healthy diet consists of natural foods, and natural foods do not have high corn fructose zero in them, and they do not have ultra high amounts of polyunsaturated fatty acids, especially not of the omega-6 variant, but they have a high amount of protein, and they have a high amount of fat, cholesterol, and all the other good nutrients. So, in essence, if you consume a healthy diet, supplementation, which is all my blog is about, or a large part of my blog is about, will always come second.
Well, there you go. Now, we've not only heard his voice, but we know that his intelligence flows fluidly as he addresses the issue related to taxing the adrenals when eating a ketogenic diet and the relationship to the Paleolithic style of eating. I really have to apologize to Stepan Stasny, because I made a comment either the week or a week before when he was posting all that stuff on Facebook about, and actually my comment was parroting something that someone else put on Facebook about the quality of his physique, and I've looked at his pictures, and the guy is ripped to shreds, and you can't deny the fact that he understands nutrition in order to be ripped to shreds the way he is. So I want to give him props for that. And I've already had a couple guests on, I believe, that he had suggested.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've had Ajanis von der Planets on the show numerous times, and Randy Roach on the show numerous times. And a lot of the people that he suggested I have on the show, Rob Wolf, you know, I've had on the show. And so I was just questioning whether or not he ever listens to the show. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful to him. I really meant it. It's like he was saying, you should have all these people on the show because these people know nutrition. I'm thinking, well, over the past 6 years, I've had all those people on the show a few times each.
Right.
So, but anyway, I kind of felt bad after I made that comment, because he's definitely leaner than I am. So he understands nutrition, there's no doubt about it. And you've heard.
Maybe you can have him on the show.
He wants to be on the show. He said he's studying his, I think he's a doctoral student now, and he's welcome to come on the show if he wants to talk about something. And
And, of course, we're going to have Professor Dr. Andrew on the show very soon. You've heard his voice now, so you know what he sounds like, and he's going to be doing an episode very, very soon. And maybe we will have him in the studio. We'll fly him into the United States and have him. He and Elisa co-host the show together, it sounds like, because I think she wants to meet him as well. So there you go. Anyway, do we have anything else to talk about today?
I think that's it.
My God, we did an hour and a half show. I told you this could have been a two-hour show.
Yeah, yeah.
We may have to go to 2 hours on Fridays. Who knows? Anyway, okay, well, listen, that is the end of Casual Friday. I've run out of things to say.
Really?
Other than, yeah.
That's a surprise.
I know, right? I've run out of things to say about the show.
Oh.
When I turn the mic off, I've got a lot to say.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I want to thank you so much for listening to Superhuman Radio today, and we will see you next week. We've got some great shows planned for you. Next week, we got Mark Schaus on Monday, Surviving in a Toxic World. You guys wanted him. He's going to be on. We'll see you then.
Bye.